With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You need two haircuts to wear that.
Oh my God.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm John R. Bray.
And I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And today, we have approximately 1 hour.
Approximately.
And we're going to fit it all in. And I'm reasonably sure my neighbor has now started mowing the lawn. So that's excellent.
I'm sure that Coco is going to go bananas at some point in this new house. She sits right by the door and can sense when anybody walks by the house, and she just starts barking.
Well, my sump pump alarm has started going off, and that means it beeps twice in a row approximately every 10 seconds.
Your sump pump?
My sump pump. Do you guys not
have
sump pumps?
What is a sump pump?
It's like a pump in the basement, so if there's a lot of groundwater.
Okay. Oh, yes.
So it pumps the water out from your basement. And this is like, it's like my backup pump or something. And the battery has a problem and my landlord's going to look at it when she can. I'm like, all right, well, it does this 24 hours a day. So if you don't look at it soon, I'm going to figure it out on my own. And that probably just means disconnecting it all.
Okay, so wait a minute. Really quickly. When I grew up in Tennessee, we didn't have basements because of the water level, the water table. They called it the water table was so high. And which was very terrifying for me as a child who was terrified of tornadoes, because the safest place in a tornado is the basement, except that no one had a basement in Memphis.
Ah, yes.
So the safest place is a bathtub.
That was my only option. Climb in the bathtub.
And so I slept in the bathtub with all of my stuffed animals for about 3 months one time.
Wow. During like tornado season?
Yeah. It was the first time the siren went off. You know about the siren, right?
Oh, yes. Well, we have them. I mean, we've had tornadoes nearby. Okay. So.
I don't even know if they have the siren in Utah. I mean, it's an emergency siren, right? It's for just like major emergencies.
I think it's just for tornadoes here. I don't know.
We're going to Google this. So the first time I ever heard it, I think it was in second grade. It sounded like a truck was just going back and forth, right? And I had no idea what it was. And in the South, what you do is when the tornado warning happens, everybody goes outside and looks at the sky.
That makes a ton of sense, yeah.
And so I was standing in this, I lived in a cul-de-sac, which is what they call them here in Utah. They call them coves in the South.
Coves, interesting.
So I lived in a place called Cedar Oak Cove. And I went outside and all of my neighbors were staring at the sky. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, there's a truck that's really loud. It keeps passing by the neighborhood and the sky is orange, which means impending doom for anybody who doesn't know about tornadoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I went inside and asked my mom, and she explained it to me, and I lost my mind and literally got my 700 stuffed animals, put them in the tub, and slept there for 3 months.
I don't blame you.
It was this very scary, scary part of my childhood.
We had a tornado, I don't remember how far it was from here. I don't know, 8 to 10 years ago. And where the sirens went off and we had to go to the basement. We were in an apartment building at the time and had to go into the basement. And Lexton was 2.5. I mean, old enough to remember it, but not really old enough to process it at the time.
Yes.
He's still, when the sky gets dark, immediately he's like, is it going to rain? Well, maybe. Thunder? Maybe. Tornado? Probably not. Really don't know. But every single time because of that.
Mm-hmm. I figured out that, I was just like Lexton, I figured out that storms came from the west. That's where the clouds would come from.
Yes.
So I became very, very good at figuring out directions. And I've ever since been very good at finding north, south, east, and west wherever I go. And I would wake up in the morning and I would look outside and I would watch the weather religiously. Like, what is it going to be? What is it going to be? What is it going to be? Oh, man. And sometimes, so Lita, you know, we live in Utah and violent weather like that really doesn't happen in the valley here. Except that, like, back in 2000, 2001, a freak tornado came through downtown Salt Lake City.
What?
Yes.
Did it do a lot of damage? Was it like a big thing?
Yeah, it did a lot of damage. And it went right at this place called City Creek, which is where, I mean, it's right there in downtown. Like, it was like less than a mile from where we live. And Lita's like, do tornadoes happen in Salt Lake? And I'm like,
I think it's fair to say no. That was a fluke event.
Sometimes we experience what's called microblasts, something like that.
I've heard of those, yeah.
Yeah, where something happens and the trees fall down and get uprooted and thrown across the city. But generally, it just snows a lot and then it gets really hot in the summer. So,
which really, I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad.
We sat down to record this episode and now we're here.
Here we go. This one's about weather. She's going to move on to storms.
Mm-hmm. But now she's, like, she asks me all the time still. I don't know why she got freaked. Oh, it was because of summer camp. Oh, man, we could spend whole episode talking about summer camp.
I remember, I think you might have mentioned that, like, the thunderstorm just absolutely terrified her.
Terrified. She'd never experienced a thunderstorm like that.
If you haven't, and it's a good thunderstorm, it's pretty damn scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I totally get it.
It sounds like a war, you know?
Yes.
So she has overcome that to the point where she wants to attend 6 weeks of camp this summer.
Fully aware that that could happen again.
Yeah. Well, wow. I'll just say that her therapist is just a miracle worker. A miracle worker.
Clearly. Holy shit.
He is the therapist for, I think I've said this before, he is the therapist for 5 of my friend's children. And he has to, like, pretend that we all don't know each other or that he doesn't know that we know.
But that means he's good.
He's very good. Mm-hmm. And so now she's considering, well, she's not considering, I've worked it out with her father, and for the 6 weeks that she's in New York, she will be at the camp in New Jersey.
For the whole time?
The whole time, yeah.
Wow.
She is so excited.
And this is a straight six.
A straight 6 weeks.
This coming summer. Mm-hmm. That's what it was last year? I can't remember, because one of them was split, wasn't it?
It was 3 weeks. So the first year was 3 weeks, and that's when she was traumatized by the thunderstorm. Yes. And by, you know, she'd never been away from home for more than a day.
Right.
You can't have your phone, and you can't talk to anybody except for, like, there's a, in the middle of it, like, there's a parents' day. Parents can come visit.
Okay.
So the first year was 3 weeks, the second year was 3 weeks, and now she keeps in touch with her friends, and they are all doing the 6 week jaunt, and she's 13, and she's like, I want to go be with my friends at camp, you know? And I was like, you know what? I think that's great.
That's awesome. That's a long time at camp. I don't think I've ever liked camp that much.
Well,
good for her. I know they
love to go see their father. I think that the quarters are a little tight in New York, and there's a lot.
Because it's New York, I mean.
Because it's New York, absolutely. They have to walk a lot when they're there.
So she's going to camp to avoid the walking.
She's like, I just want to go be with my friends. But that's what, when Marlo talks about New York, she loves to go and visit her father and her father's, am I allowed to say Liz? I can say Liz, right? Marla likes to see Liz and her children as well. And when she talks about New York, she's like, oh, there's so much walking.
Kids have I don't even think it's the stamina. It's just the patience. I think it's boring to walk for kids. I mean, I love it. When I go to any city, I just walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my goal is to walk and see as much as I can. But if Lexton is with me, it's like 3 blocks. Can we take a cab? I don't want to walk anymore.
One of my biggest days on Fitbit was a 30,000 steps was in New York, just walking.
Yeah.
I spent the entire day just walking through the city. Yeah.
It's a great city to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not blisteringly hot or incredibly cold. So you know, I just need the ideal and then I'm good in New York.
I wanted to break up the 6 weeks that they're going to be gone into 2-3 week sections because I don't want to be gone from my kids that long. But because Lita wants this so badly, I'm agreeing to it. So I am flying them out at the end of June, and I always turn it into a trip to New York since I'm flying out there.
Yeah.
And that is going to be real hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's last time I was in New York was in June, and it was, well, toward the end because it was over my birthday. Yeah, it was miserable. And because it's all pavement, it's just god awful.
Yeah. And it's not just that. It smells.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it always, yeah. It always does. Yeah. Depends on where, but it's definitely pretty nasty. Mm-hmm. Especially if you take public transit.
Yeah, and the subway is the best way to travel there. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
By far. Or I mean, I'd rather walk, but that's just not convenient all the time. Mm-mm. Well, that'll be good, though. New York trip. And then 6 weeks of quote-unquote freedom.
6 weeks of quote-unquote freedom. Mm-hmm. They're gone for my birthday.
You're
going to
take those whole 6 weeks off and party, right?
A couple of years ago when I turned 40, I wanted to go to, I've never been to Paris. I've been to Bangladesh and I have been to Haiti.
but never Paris.
But I really haven't ever, I mean, and I was in Berlin a little bit last year, but I really haven't ever explored Europe. And that's something that I'm looking into for my birthday this year.
Very nice.
But what I really love to do is just go back to London and spend like a week in London for my birthday.
Just be careful with what you pack.
Be careful with what I pack?
Yeah. You had trouble with customs in London, didn't you? At Heathrow?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God. But, yeah.
Sorry to bring that up again, but, you know, just be aware. It was your perfume, wasn't it? Isn't that like the thing that caused all the hassle?
It was my perfume and it was, yeah. No, it was my my eyebrow clippers. They confiscated my eyebrow clippers.
Oh, wow.
Which have never been confiscated anywhere else but London Heathrow. Yeah.
Well, that would be a great place to spend a birthday, though.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to be even exploring options, but... Yeah, 6 weeks without my kids is, it's both, wow, oh my gosh, I have all this time. And then it's also, oh God, like my heart and soul and my entire like existence is going to be gone. What?
Well, and it's also, it takes, because I've gotten to the point where, I mean, Lexton is gone every other weekend. And early on, it was really weird to have him gone. I think we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. And now... I mean, I don't want this to sound bad, but I look forward to it because it's a time where I catch up on work or I can do whatever I want in the morning. It's not like I do a lot, but I can do what I do on my own schedule. Mm-hmm. And I like it for those 48 hours. But even this summer, it looks like he's probably going to take a trip with his grandparents for 10 days. And already, I'm like, 10 days? What the hell am I going to do with 10 days? I feel two. But by the time I pick him up, I'm ready for him to come home. Mm-hmm. Like more than ready. It's great to pick him up. But 10 days. So then when you say 6 weeks, I feel like, I mean, aside from missing them, I just don't know what I would do for that long.
Again, they are my anchor. Everything sort of revolves. This is something that I just this week realized. It's something that I have, how do I say this? So Marlo got her tonsils out and over spring break. So spring break was last week for me with the kids. And
that was totally chill, right?
Oh God, I'm going to write about this. So I'm not going to say too much, but dear Lord fucking God, dear fucking God.
That pretty much sums it up though, right?
Oh my God. I seriously just want every single person who told me, oh, my kid did it and bounced back in 2 days. I would just want to punch him in the balls. I mean, good Lord, everything that could go wrong went wrong. The doctor had like listed out like this could happen and this could happen and this could happen. But, you know, each kid is different. We went through the whole list.
I mean, your kid is different. She just decided to have all of those things happen. She's sitting there. She's like, check, check, check.
My mom called her the valedictorian of the tonsillectomy. She's like, she's going to do all of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Spring break was such that we did not have to get up in the morning and go to school and that whole, you know, the whole routine of everything. But I realized like the routine of getting up and taking them to school and all of that structures the rest of my brain. And like, it's easier to work out because it's easier to work out. It's easier to do work because of that scheduling routine. Cause I know that I have to, like, only have this limited amount of time to get things done. And so that structure that they bring to my life makes it easier for me to do other things. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but
no. Yeah. You rely on it. It's a structure that you put in place because you have kids,
mm-hmm.
but then it becomes necessary. Even the 48 hours that he is gone, my whole weekend is just fucked. I don't eat at the right time. If I eat, I wake up at the wrong, like everything about my days just falls apart and it makes jumping into Monday really hard. But the weekends he's with me, I mean, obviously the weekends are a little more relaxed than, you know, the weekday routines, but it still follows a specific pattern just because yes. It does.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, everything just collapses. I realize it's, you know, 2 o'clock and I haven't eaten breakfast. I'm like, I already passed lunch. I might as well just wait now, you know? Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't necessarily even like being on a routine, but now that I'm on a routine, I can't be off of it.
I really enjoy sleeping and I have a really hard time waking up in the morning because of all of my anti-anxiety medication that I take before I go to bed. And I take the anti-anxiety medication before I go to bed because it makes me sleepy. But according to my pharmacologist, it continues to work through the next day, and it does. But so it's really, really hard for me to wake up. And if I don't have the, okay, I gotta be out of bed by 6:30 in order to get my kids to school on time, then I'm going to, I am a marathon snooze button pusher. Man, like, I think one time I did it for 3 hours.
Really?
I didn't just turn the alarm off. I hit snooze for 3 hours. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
See, I do a combination of snooze and turning it off. Because I'm not always aware enough to know what I'm doing. So I use my phone. That's my alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And I set an alarm every 15 minutes for an hour and a half. Because if I snooze through the first one, that's it. I'm out. I'm really? A really heavy sleeper. So I have to set multiple. That way, whether I turn it off or snooze it, shit's still going to go off.
Shit is still going to go off. There's something, I don't know. There's just something like, just one more time. Just one more time, nine more minutes. There's something about that, like, I don't know.
And it's ridiculous because 9 minutes when you sleep feels like absolutely nothing. And mm-hmm. I think that's why you keep hitting it.
Right.
Because it's basically you hit snooze, you close your eyes, and it goes off again. That's mm-hmm. how it feels. But if you do it 6 times, then it feels okay.
Then you're like, oh. So when it first goes off in the morning, I'm like, oh, I have another 45 minutes that I get to lie here. Because I hit it 5 times.
So do you do you intentionally set your alarm early?
Uh-huh.
Knowing that you're going to snooze?
Yeah. I set my alarm for 6, and then I get out of bed at 6:45.
Yeah. I'm sure there's all sorts of scientific arguments saying that we're really fucking up our sleep by not just setting it at a time and getting up.
Yeah.
But there's that psychological element where I think just because you snoozed 6 times, for example, you feel like you've stayed in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Longer, like it's more satisfying.
I just like to be warned that I'm gonna have to get out of bed.
6 snoozes from now, you will be getting up.
Yeah, I just want a warning. You know, I don't like to be yanked. I just want a warning that so the sleep has to end. And so
gentle wake up. Yeah.
Well, so when I don't have to do that, I'll set my alarm if I get to sleep until like 7 or 8, and it's like I mean, if I could work out, but I really want a cup of coffee and I could sit here and do some work. And I start to do a pinball thing where it's like, well, I could do this, but I could also do this. And the possibilities are so much broader because the restrictions aren't there. And my self-control is like, my self-control kind of needs the kids.
Yes, because you've relied on them to kind of enforce that routine. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, subconsciously, they're the reason it's there. So without them, you can totally break it. But that 6 weeks could be a really fascinating experience because maybe there's like a certain point where all of a sudden just your own natural routine kicks in. It's like, no, you can't sleep in an extra hour and you do need to go to the gym and you have to work at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope, because if not, I mean, I'm going to be screwed in 6 years when he's out of the house.
Last year, they went for 5 weeks. And I will admit this, that towards the end, I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Like bracing for impact.
Yeah.
Because it is such a difference. It is like a smack to the face of, I've had this, you know, all this time when I could just do whatever I wanted to do, whenever I wanted to do it. And then boom, there they are.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm responsible for everything. Yeah.
Well, then that's the thing. I mean, if it's 4 o'clock on some random day and you want to go get coffee, you can just do it. It doesn't matter.
Oh,
yeah. Go eat dinner at 10 p.m. No one cares.
Mm-hmm. I can get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go exercise and get it done, you know, get it done for the day.
Yep. Get it out of the way. Well, that's why, I mean, even when we text, we always refer to it as reentry, because that is the worst part. It's not bad being in it, but entering back into it is hell. And the longer that gap is, I think the worse it is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, after 6 weeks, that's going to be, damn.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun transition.
And they get back literally 5 days before they start school.
Oh, God. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So, remember? And we're going to say this right now, and I'm going to warn you. Do not say, oh, my gosh, you know, we're starting the new school year, and it's going much better than we had planned.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember that. Oh, yep. Yep.
Just getting all the school supplies, and it's like, oh, then there's the parent-teacher shit that goes on. Okay, all right. What I need to do is party the fuck out of those 6 weeks, man. Fuck out of those 6 weeks.
That's why you need to plan to not be there, even if it's not far. But you know if you're home, you're going to work,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure you have to work for part of it. But you need to be gone. You will fall into your own work routine, and that will be it.
The problem is I have a dog. I can't really, whenever I leave, I have to plan for the dog.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That is why I don't have a pet.
I would get more pets, I think, if I knew that travel to New York wasn't so frequent. Well, it hasn't been that frequent, but you know, I haven't been on a plane this year.
Which is a record for you. I mean, we're 4.5 months in, 3.5 months in.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, I have to go to San Francisco, and I got invited to speak at a conference in Montenegro.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
When is that?
That's at the end of May.
Very nice.
And then the kids and I are going to, our vacation this year together as the three of us, we're going to go see my cousins in Austin, Texas.
Way south.
Way south, way hot. Tex-Mex all the way, man.
That's right.
My kids like guacamole, and they are going to be so fucking, like, they're going to be like, what is this? This is guacamole, kids. Welcome to Texas.
I could eat guacamole for every meal of the day.
Yeah.
That would probably be my only reason to go south.
Have you ever been to Austin?
I have not. I've never been to Texas at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Austin is amazing.
I've heard it's great. But I also don't really like the heat. So I do tend to avoid, although I'm getting better. I'm growing more tolerant of it, I think.
Give me all of the heat.
Just tell myself that.
Just give me all of it. Oh.
No, gray and rain works for me pretty well, actually.
Oh, no, 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 no. A couple weeks ago, was it earlier this month, end of last month, it rained for several days in a row. And everybody in town was just so depressed. And we're like, this has got to end. This has got to end. And I'm like, how do people live in that? How do people live in the constant drizzle?
Although that's why I think I'm changing, because we had a period that was a couple weeks of almost all gray. And I was so anxious for sunshine and warmth. And I've never felt that way before, ever. So I think I'm transitioning. I could gray, dismal days for months would have been fine.
No.
But I need the light, I think.
You're becoming an adult.
Yeah, that must be what it is. Finally. Almost 33 and an adult.
Almost 33.
Almost.
Wow.
I got a couple more months of 32.
I remember 33. Yeah.
Yeah, it all just blurs together anymore.
Yeah.
Not a good year for you?
What was 33? That was 2008. That was an interesting year. It was a very interesting year. I'll just say that.
I'll hope for interesting for mine. Mm-hmm. I don't have any plans yet, so we'll see.
Are you going to go anywhere for your birthday?
I don't know. It depends on Lexton's schedule. What I might end up doing is trying to go somewhere before my birthday because it looks like that's when he's going to go somewhere with his grandparents.
Okay.
So take a trip a week before that, but I haven't even started looking at it. I had to get myself through tax season first. That was awful.
So, oh, God.
But it's over now.
Yeah.
It's good. It's done. I'm all set.
Are you all set?
I'm much lighter than I was before, but, I'm here.
I'm here.
Glad it's done.
You survived it.
I survived it, yes.
Do you want to tell us what your resolution was or no?
Oh, in terms of filing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, I did not claim Lexton.
Oh, God.
So that was an added, yeah.
Added.
And even when I finally emailed the final decision to my accountant, she responded. She's like, are you sure? Because it's a big difference.
I bet she's like, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Because it's a big difference.
She asked at one point, she's like, can she claim him? I'm like, well, it's not really up for me to decide. But I'm like, not really. Not really. But it's over. Mostly, I'm just glad we don't have to talk about it. I don't have to think about filing anymore. It's done.
Oh, you were through the ringer on that one.
Yeah, I'm still not happy with how it turned out, but,
you deserve a trip.
Something.
Yeah.
So I will do something. As long as he goes somewhere for that long, I will definitely do something. Because I don't know what I would do here for 10 days. I don't need to be here for 10 days. I don't want to be here at all. I would rather move in general, but.
But you made an important decision is what you did.
That's right. So no regrets, but definitely need to go somewhere.
Austin. Yeah. After Austin
in June. That sounds really great.
We're staying at a little Airbnb that's right next to a pool, like a natural spring pool.
Oh, so cool.
We'll just stay there. And we might, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but my nephew is on a mission in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. And he's writing home and saying that he loves the weather. And that could be because we've come out of this awful, 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 awful winter. And he is now in a place where it's 90 degrees in April, probably. So.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, yeah. And it's dry heat, right? Which
in Austin?
Isn't it?
No.
I'm totally making this shit up.
It's Texas.
It's not. So it's humid,
yeah.
But it's dry in parts of Texas.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe in West Texas, but like Houston and San Antonio are they're close to the Gulf, I think.
So it's like 90 and humid?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. No way. No way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You like humid heat?
I grew up in that.
Yeah, but no. Dry heat I can tolerate. Humidity.
I like to visit. I like to visit it. Is what I like to do. Visiting it is fun for me because it reminds me of growing up. But I will tell you, the summers in Utah are second to none. Second to none. It's why I continue living here. That my mom. My mom is at the top, and then it's summers in Utah because it's not humid. There are no bugs. It is gorgeous day after day after day after day after day.
Well, I think we've talked about this, but I've only been to Salt Lake once when we met. Mm-hmm. It was in August, maybe. I think it was in August.
Yes, it was, because I had mediation the next day.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Super hot. And that was when my rental car got a flat tire on the side of the interstate. That's and I had right. to change it in like 95 degree heat when I was almost late for my flight anyway. So by the time I get to the airport and through security, I'm just pouring sweat.
You're done with Utah.
Crabby as all hell. I'm like, fuck this place. Get me on a plane. Could have just been a bad impression, but you know. And then I got charged for the flat tire.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So it was good times. But I'm sure it's nice overall.
It's nice overall. Just the, I mean, having a cocktail like at 6 o'clock on your porch, you know, neighbors walking by, it's beautiful outside. It's just, you know, that's life.
I know. I will agree with that, especially no bugs.
Like, oh God, it was the, what day was it last week? Lita, it was a Friday, and Lita did not get out of her pajamas the entire day at all. Didn't even brush her hair. And she's lying on the couch, and Marlo is feeling like Marlo had these waves of being okay, and then the wave would crash and she would basically claim she was dying. So there was this wave of her feeling better, and she was like bugging Lita to play. And she just looked at me and she's like, I just want to, like, why doesn't she understand that I just want to relax? And I said, Lita, you're becoming an adult.
Yep.
You realize that, like, just sitting and not doing anything is really pleasant. It's fun. And she's like, you're right. And I said, yeah, as you get older, it gets more fun. It gets funner and funner and funner, to the point that you're just like begging to just sit and do nothing.
Well, I think because your list of what qualifies as nothing shrinks, like to sit and, like, I mean, like you said, sitting on a porch and drinking a cocktail. For a kid, that's super boring to sit there and sip on a soda.
Mm-hmm.
But I could sit there for hours with a drink. Well, yeah. Several drinks. No complaints at all. Not one. Especially after crazy weeks.
Mm-hmm. Let's kind of go back to the walking thing. Like walking and not doing, just walking around and looking at a city is so much fun. And for a child, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No. Yeah. There has to be a destination and it has to be close. That's really what it amounts to.
Otherwise, you're going to go to camp for 6 weeks.
Exactly. Exactly. But that, like, with having that freedom and not having that routine, I mean, you can walk and then just stop in somewhere and stay for 5 minutes or stay for 4 hours. It doesn't matter. But it's not like that with kids. It's an in and out. Like, every place, I think, for kids has a purpose. Once you've done that thing, you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go somewhere for lunch and you eat and the food is gone, you have to go.
Yes.
Because it's already done. Whereas adults linger. You know, and I don't know if Lita's kind of at that point yet, but even with Lexton, like we'll go out to dinner and finish. And he kind of wants to hang out and finish his soda and talk. And it's awesome, but it's so weird.
It is weird. And this is such a quick, it feels like a quick change with them, with the older kids. So during the tonsillectomy spring break week, my mom was watching Marlo. We were supposed to go to a place called Logan, a few hours north of here, and stay in a hotel with a swimming pool. Because we, you know, people had told me, your kid bounces back in 2 days. So we're like, hey, let's book, you know, let's do something for spring break. So we had to cancel two hotel rooms because Marlo was in no condition to get in a car. Literally could not, like, she literally couldn't get in a car. It was that bad. And
yeah, I remember you texting me early in the week. Yeah.
Oh my God. I apologize for anything that I texted. So I, you know, and Lita was really disappointed. She was like, you know, this is her spring break week and we didn't get to go to do anything fun. And so I took her clothes shopping, and I don't know why I just remembered this. There was a Walmart commercial in the late 90s, early 2000s, where these two women are talking, they're greeters, and they're clowns. And one of them is like, shopping to me is fun. And they talk about how they greet people at Walmart. Have you seen this?
No. I don't like clowns, so I already dislike it.
I know. It's a little frightening, but shopping to me is fun. And I used to say it all the time because I hate shopping. I hate it.
Just all shopping?
All shopping. I just hate shopping. And so I was like, okay, let's go clothes shopping, Lita.
And she likes it, right?
Well, this is really interesting. We went to the mall that has Forever 21 and H&M and stuff. And so we walked into Forever 21. Oh my God. It's like you're basically browsing a circus, right?
That's a good way to describe it.
You're inside like the costume section of a circus. And to me, going in there is kind of, it's like people watching, but you're clothes washing. It's like, what were they thinking with this? And she got really stressed out because nothing in there was wearable. And she was starting to stress out and she wanted to leave immediately. So we ended up going to H&M and found her some shirts that didn't have like a clown in glitter blinking on the front of it. We found her several t-shirts and a jacket and could not find any shorts for her. She's just so tiny. And I was like, well, we need to probably go to Target or Old Navy. And she's like, okay, do we have to do that today? And I was like, no, we don't. I want to go home too. She's like, okay, good. I want to go home. And I was like, oh, you're my little non-shopper. Yay.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Lexton has always hated it, so it's never really been an issue. But I did. I finally cleaned out. I hate cleaning out his dresser. I hate it. Because some things you can eyeball and know that they don't fit. But others, you're not really sure. So I have him like put them on. Just tell me if it fits. If it doesn't, give it to me. I'll give it to Goodwill. So he comes out. And there were shorts in the drawer. And I don't know. He's also very small in the waist. But very tall. He's like 5'2 or something. But, you know, 86 pounds. So he comes out. He's like, these shorts are awesome. And I turn around. Oh, my God. They were like, they looked like boxer briefs. maybe. And I, without even thinking, I was like, whoa. And he goes, what? Are they kind of short? I'm like, yeah, you can wear them, but they're a little on the short side. Like, to the point where he wouldn't be able to sit without concern. But I know when I go up a size, like, it's not going to fit. So I don't know what to do. God, they were short. I have nothing against. I mean, it was just my mom, she would always notice when girls or women had on really short skirts. And I remember this growing up. She would always kind of mumble under her breath, you need two haircuts to wear that.
Oh my God.
Every single time. Like, and it is just, it's always like I'll be out and see someone in a short skirt. That's exactly what crosses my mind. Like, I can hear her saying it.
You need
his shorts were the version of that.
You need two haircuts to wear those shorts. Is that what she said?
To wear the skirt, like a really short skirt. Yeah. Yep.
Oh man, that's
can
awesome.
Never unhear it. Those shopping are like the skirts at Forever 21.
Yeah,
shopping to me is fun at Walmart, no less. Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to stay a little bit longer, and just people were clothes watching H&M or Forever 21, and Lita was like, this is scary. I'm scared, Mom.
It's kind of fun to find something that's just horrendous, and just wait and see who picks it up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just kind of keep an eye out, and you're like, no one's going to buy that. And then someone comes up like, this is awesome. And you just watch. Like, you're really going to spend your money on that. Okay. It's good, though. I don't know.
Well, like, my friend Cammie. Do you remember Cammie?
From your website?
Yeah.
Like, wild fashion.
Wild
Not a bad
fashion.
Way. Just very, yeah, okay.
She just, like, she, all of her clothes were vintage, and she would just put the craziest things together, and I loved what she would do. This time at Forever 21, we walked in, and I'm like, we have walked into Cammie's brain. We have walked into Cammie's brain. Oh my God, this is what Cammie's brain looks like. It was just, it was insane. I mean, I say that lovingly, but there was nothing that Lita wanted. Like, Lita's, God, she really is a lot like me in the sense that she doesn't want to wear makeup. She doesn't want to wear a lot of jewelry. She doesn't wear any jewelry. She's just sort of, she's like, you know, I just want the plain t-shirt. I just want the plain shorts. That's all I want. I was like, I get it.
Yeah, I don't dress to stand out. Mm-hmm. And I have nothing against it. I have friends who do. It's fine. It's just not for me. I feel like if I were to wear stuff like that, I would feel weird, and then it would just make it look weird. Like, you have to own it, and I don't.
I mean, Cammie owns it. Like, I'm sure that I'll probably see her when I go to New York. She'll be in shorts that are, you know, she needs two haircuts to wear the shorts, you know, and in shoes that have a heel that's probably 6 inches high, and maybe a tank top, or maybe a really frilly glitter shirt, and then like she'll have a fur throw around her, a fur scarf, that sort of thing,
and then she'll just be totally casual,
totally, and she will own it. Yeah. like it is just who she is, and it is. I love that about her. Like, I would never, first of all, be able to wear the shoes, period, anywhere. And she's wearing it like with teeny, teeny, tiny shorts and a fur scarf. And it's just like, she's magical that way. I am not.
It is a gift. I probably couldn't wear those heels either. So don't feel bad.
Probably not. No, don't do that.
Or the shorts.
Or the shorts. sitting without concern.
That's right. You don't want to have to think when you're sitting. You don't want to have to be that aware.
Oh, man, we're getting into the... And I know you're experiencing this with Lexton, but we really are just entering this puberty territory. And it's like reliving it all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it hurts because, at least with Lexton, it's just now entering. So, like, I can see a year from now and just shudder.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really... Oh, man. Middle school is rough.
Middle school is rough.
I didn't think high school was nearly as bad because you were kind of over that initial hump.
Mm-hmm.
So that awkwardness was gone, or at least diminished. Either that or you just got used to it. But middle school was rough.
It is. Well, it's rough because all of the change is happening so fast. Like, you're out of elementary school and then your body is changing super, 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 super quickly.
Yeah.
And so you're thrust into this new environment while your body is changing super fast and... so confusing. And Lita and I watched the first season of Felicity. Did you ever watch Felicity?
My sister did. I've seen it, but I've never watched it consecutively.
It's a really good show.
That's Carrie Russell, right?
That is Carrie Russell, yes. Yeah. And Scott Foley and Jennifer Garner got her start on Felicity.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I went to the CD release party of the first season of Felicity. I got to meet them all. I wrote about this on my website.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like a long time ago. That must have been before I found your site.
1999. Holy shit, yeah. 1999 is when that happened.
That was when I went to high school.
Oh my God. Shut up. And Jennifer Garner was there. This is before Jennifer Garner was doing Alias. And I walked up. So I'm going to finish this up really quickly. Okay. At the end of the first season of Felicity, Felicity has to make a choice between Noel or Ben. And
spoiler, everyone. Spoiler.
Well, no, she has to make a choice. I mean, everybody knows about this.
You're not going to tell us the choice.
No, I'm not going to tell you the choice. Okay. And the season ends with her getting into a cab, and you don't know which one she chooses. And it's gutting because it just ends. Like, the credits come up, she gets in a cab, and you have no idea who she chooses. And back in the day when this came on, I had to wait 4 months for the next season, right? So it was really upsetting, and I cried. It was like there was Team Noel and there was Team Ben. And I went to the CD release party before the second season came out. And I walked up to Scott Foley at the CD release party and I said, I just want you to know that I am just hardcore Team Noel, because he's playing Noel. And standing next to him is Jennifer Garner.
Oh, wow.
Jennifer Garner. Yeah. 1999 Jennifer Garner, who looked like she had not washed her hair. She had her glasses on, like a white t-shirt and khaki pants that were pleated.
Oh,
khaki
those
pants.
Were still cool then, though, right?
No.
No.
And like some weird, clunky, like chunky shoes. And it was just so weird to like, she was just, it's almost like she wanted to like blend into the background of something. She wasn't talking to anybody. She was clearly flirting with Scott Foley, whom she eventually married.
Well, so it worked. But he must have liked the pleated pants.
Yeah, I couldn't get over the pleated khakis. Couldn't get over it. It was just like, what is she doing?
Anyway. Clearly, if that still sticks in your mind from like well, 20 years ago almost.
Well, because I met and I saw so many celebrities in Los Angeles. You basically see one a day. Like I saw Cindy Crawford buying salami when she was 8 months pregnant with her first kid. Like I was standing in line behind her. But Lita finished watching Felicity, and when the credits go up, she was silent. And I just sat there for a second, and she turned over and started making a noise, and I thought she was joking. And I was like, what are you doing? And she is sobbing.
She doesn't even have to wait. You can just watch the next one.
She doesn't even have to wait. I know. And I said, we can watch it right now if you want to. But she's like, no, I'll just wait. And I have to take into consideration that like her emotions now are just right there underneath, like they're right underneath her eyes, just right there. And so now I'm being very measured with, you know, I realize that she's entering that really emotional stage and everything has meaning and everything is, there's drama in every decision and every stroke of life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know if Lexton, dude.
I don't think it's the same with boys. Yeah. I mean, there's drama, but it's totally not at the same. I don't even want to say it's not at the same level. It's just processed differently.
Yeah.
And part of that, honestly, I think they're oblivious to a certain degree. I think the boys stay kind of oblivious to some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just speaking for Lexton, but I remember, I mean, I was friends with girls in middle school and high school, and there was definitely more drama between them than there was with the guys.
Oh, yeah. Of the drama. Oh, God.
Yeah. So that I'm not experiencing.
You're lucky.
Yeah. You'll be ready, though, by the time Marlo goes through that. Unless she decides to be like the valedictorian of everything, then you're fucked. Then
I don't know.
Lita won't even be like prep for it. You won't know what's going to hit you.
Oh, I don't know. As we were sitting there, you know, I was comforting her, I was thinking, when Marlo's this age, Marlo's going to get to the end of Felicity and go, needs more blood.
Having that comparison with two, I think, would be fascinating, regardless of how far apart they are. Even if they're twins, I think it'd be interesting.
It is really interesting. It really is a fascinating study day to day.
And you had to be in a house with them for a whole week, so it was like the perfect study. And one of them was teetering between fine and death, so pretty calm spring break.
There were several times when me and Lita had to be very, very careful, because the urge to mimic the sound coming out of Marlo, because she couldn't speak
at all. It hurt to speak. And so she would say, I want a milkshake.
And Lita and I would look at Lita and I would give her the stink eye, like, don't make fun of her. If she cries, it makes it worse. Stop. Don't make fun of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But we should say, right, we're now just out of spring break for you, and she's turned a corner.
She's at school
better.
Today. Yeah.
See, look
she's
at that.
She's at school. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You didn't think you'd make it a week ago, but
did
you did.
Not.
I'd have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure at least 50% of that first text message was all caps, if not the whole thing. And that it was like, it was Monday or Tuesday that you sent it to. And I'm like, oh God, this is going to be such a long week for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is that it got worse on day three, and then it got worse on day four, and then it got really, really, really bad on day five. And I was just like, okay, this is not ever going to end. Like, she's just going to end up getting worse and worse and worse.
And that's really like the opposite, right? I mean, it should get better on day three and then even better on day four.
Right.
And then day five, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the plan. That was kind of how you scheduled your little trip, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we were going to do. Yeah.
We were going to go swimming. We were going to go swimming in Logan. My poor little girl whose throat just got slashed.
Oh, man. Yeah, she went through it all.
She did.
But if she could do that at this age, holy shit, she'd be fine. It's good.
Oh, I've many people have sent me horror stories about having them removed at like your age. And
oh, really?
Yeah. The recovery as an adult is far, far, far worse. So
everything's worse as an adult. I mean, across the board.
You have to walk in New York City? God.
You're not even going anywhere. But we should mention, right, if you're going to write about it, I mean, we should mention to the listeners of ours that maybe haven't been to your website in a while that it's relaunched.
It's relaunched.
You posted like 4 or 5 times already.
I know. Like I have a place to write again. Yeah. The goal is to do a lot of writing. To do a lot of writing. I think I mentioned that in the episode where we talked about resolutions, that my resolution was to get back to that, which brought me mental happiness. And writing does that for me.
It shows in your writing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's been great having you back on there. I've enjoyed it. I've checked it a couple times thinking there's no way she's posted again. And both times I'm like, holy shit, how is there already another post up? It's awesome.
Because I was like, oh my God, I have my website back. Whoa, this is fun. Because it was so painful to update the old version of it.
Yeah.
And this version is just like killer, killer fast and like super easy. And it's like, oh my gosh, I get to write again. Yes.
So you can just think you want to write, basically go in, open a post window and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's if you had all those barriers before it really kills it.
Yeah. There was a cow on my homepage for over 2.5 months just sitting there.
Yes, there was, but no more.
No
more.
And
it's got a new look and it's awesome.
Thank you. It was a long work in progress and I'm really happy with the people, the Cooper House who helped me and it's good. I'm really excited. And I have a post that I'm working on about the whole tonsillectomy experience of 2017.
Oh, God.
That'll be quite
It involves this. I don't know if I'll get it up before this episode, but it involves this. I'll just give you a little sneak peek, okay?
I was in a wagon and then I woke up in another room. What happened to me?
I was in a wagon?
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's true. They carted her off in a wagon.
Do they think that like softens the blow or something?
Yes.
What's that?
Oh my God. And she was stoned out of her mind when she got in the wagon.
That's like a fucking nightmare.
I
got in a wagon and I don't remember what happened next. Oh my God.
She gets in a wagon, doesn't remember what happens, wakes up in some strange room with a needle in her arm, right?
Oh.
And she was coming out of her anesthesia and she's like, I was in a wagon. And Oh man.
That's horrible.
It was fun.
God.
Mm.
Looking back, it was fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so much during it. But despite that, you survived. All three of you survived. And fresh out of spring break, here we are recording an episode.
Recording an episode. Yes, we are. And that was an interesting spiral of rambling sorts, right?
Yeah. Tornadoes, tonsillectomies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we covered a lot. We
covered quite a bit, yeah.
A classic ramble.
A classic ramble. Do you have stories of tornadoes and walking in New York and summer camp and being a teenager and tonsillectomies? We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at Manic Ramblings on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can also send us email to stories@manicramblings.com.
And I will add, I know I've said this before, we do try to respond to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely read all of them, even if we don't respond. And please don't be offended if our response is ridiculously late. That does happen.
Until next time, be sure to get 2 haircuts before you wear that skirt. Shopping to me is fun. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.